Hi there, welcome to another podcast from Andy Poulton, your Chief SEO Officer. Have a listen, I hope you find it useful. Hiya, Andy Poulton, your Chief SEO Officer here, and this time around, I want to talk to you about the sound quality on your Zoom or your Teams and other video type calls. This podcast is entitled Broadcasting from Your Cave. It was inspired by a recent virtual networking session I was involved with. There were about 40 people attending. Well, there were more than 40 people attending, and we were broken out into virtual rooms to give us an opportunity to meet as many different people as possible. After going around the room, making our introductions and having a variety of interesting conversations, we were called back into the virtual lobby and then put into a different room with different people. Overall, the experience was really great. Bit of fun too. I met some interesting people, learned quite a bit, and found the 90 minutes to be A, too short, and B, a great investment. However, I was surprised by the number of people who really sounded as though they were joining from a cave. Even if their backdrop showed something different, offices, kitchens, lounges, home offices, and blurred background, so who knows where they were. But the poor audio quality from these people really distracted me from their introduction and contributions. I admit, this might just be me. I have an interest in audio quality after all, from quality music playback, hi-fi if you remember such stuff, sound quality at gigs, both from an audience perspective and as a band member, so sound matters to me. And it does seem that audio is important too, because the BBC, ITN, Sky News and everybody else seem to think so. They know that poor audio quality distracts from the message. So why do people settle for poor quality? I suspect there are a couple of main reasons. Probably the main one being that they don't know what they sound like. They don't record themselves and play their sound back. The other alternative, of course, is that they just don't care. Or they just don't know what to do to make things sound better. I think a lot of the problems are with laptops and people using the built-in microphone. When we talk into it, the microphone picks up the direct sound. But it also picks up all the echoes. The reverberations from the hard surfaces in the room, the walls, the windows, the doors and hard floors. These reverberations hit the microphone fractionally after the main sound and continue to hit the microphone as they echo around the room, echo off the different hard surfaces and make their way back to the microphone. This is why people sound like they're in a cave. This is exactly why a cave sounds like a cave. But why don't these people hear it themselves? That's because our brains are really, really clever at filtering out this reverberation and only picking up on our own voice. Which is why, when people are in a call, they don't hear what their room sounds like. The expensive solution is to muffle all the hard surfaces with sound absorbent panels. But if you're zooming from your lounge, your kitchen, or a spare bedroom, you might not want to go for recording studio chic, which makes the alternative far more practical and cost-effective. You need a higher quality external microphone that you can plug into your laptop or desktop and place it closer to your mouth, either on a boom stand or a desk mount. This is where it gets challenging and begins to get complicated or confusing, because there are hundreds, thousands of microphones to choose from. So where do you start? First off, if you only want to improve the quality of your video conferencing call, then you can look at the lower end of microphones and just simply go for a USB device that can plug straight into your computer. If you're thinking about making videos or recording a podcast, you'll want something better. If you're still looking to only record one voice, then a decent USB microphone will do the job. But if you want to record two or more people, you'll probably want a microphone each for the optimum audio quality. You can still choose USB microphones, but you will need a device that will enable you to connect both of them to your computer. Alternatively, you can invest in a small desktop mixer, but this is really territory for my forthcoming How to Podcast ebook, although I do touch on it in a few minutes. Option one is the tie-clip microphone, also known as a lavalier. These you will see used by news broadcasters the world over. A lavalier microphone discreetly clips to a tie, a lapel, or an item of clothing, and can do a good job of improving sound quality. The Movo M1 is a great example. It's only about £23 on Amazon at the time of recording, and it is genuinely plug and play. So all you have to do is plug the microphone in and then select it as the microphone you want to use when making a video call. It's got a 6-meter cable, so it doesn't matter how far away you are from your computer either. And coming with a USB-C connector, it might also work with your phone. So if you wanted to do some video recording out with a decent microphone, it's going to fit the bill. The mic comes with a clip to enable you to attach it to your tie or your lapel or shirts, blouses, whatever, and two foam windshields to help minimise wind and breathing noises. Yes, you can buy cheaper, but I wouldn't recommend it. Moving up a little bit to option two is a dynamic microphone. This is typically what you'll see used on stage by singers and other musicians at concerts. They're robust and generally offer great quality. They are a step up from an inexpensive lavalier, and there are hundreds to choose from. But my recommendation would be to choose from a well-established brand such as Shure, AKG, or Audio-Technica. This means you get a guarantee of great quality compared to a myriad of no-name Chinese brands which have no track record and which have no reliability record. As your first step into dynamic microphones, the Audio-Technica ATR2100 is about 60 quid on Amazon, and again, it is a USB microphone. It plugs straight into your computer. Not only does it have this direct USB connection, but it also includes a socket for headphone monitoring and a headphone volume control. And if you make the next step up and start having guests and you move to moving a mixer and multiple microphones, you can also plug this microphone into your mixing desk using the built-in professional standard XLR connector. So genuinely dual use. Helpfully, for desktop recording, it also comes with a desktop stand and three cables. USB-C to USB-C, so you could use it on your phone. USB-C to USB-A to connect it to your computer. And an XLR cable to connect it to your mixing desk. Option three are called condenser microphones. Now, these are also called capacitor microphones, and they're the high-quality microphones of the recording world. They can offer the best recording quality of all the microphone types, so if you are really serious about recording quality, then a condenser microphone is the one to go for. And yes, you can pay thousands for a broadcast studio quality microphone, but you don't have to. Up until recently, my current microphone that I had connected to my main PC for use with Zoom calls is a Marantz Pro MPM1000U. Again, it's a USB microphone, so it's plug and play. It's about 50 quid, again on Amazon, but I've seen it reduced to around £35 on many occasions, so if you keep your eyes open, you might get a bargain. Sound quality is first rate, and so far, reliability has been superb, and I've been using it now for nearly, over 2 years. It comes with all the essential USB cable that you need, but to keep the cost down, it doesn't ship with a desktop stand. So you should factor in 20 quid or so for one. There's a newer one on Amazon for about £17. And you do need a stand, because if you try to hand hold the mic, every time you change the way you hold the microphone, the sound will be picked up and carried across to your call. And there are some accessories that you might find useful. In my little podcast recording studio, I've got a small mixing desk so I can use two or more microphones. And my microphones are on boom arms, so they can be pushed up and out of the way when not in use, and so they can be easily positioned in the appropriate place in front of the speaker. And I've got pop filters on them. Pop filters help reduce the plosive consonants, those that are made when words start with a P, a B, a T, a D, a K, and a G. They all produce a strong puff of air. You probably won't notice them, but your microphone will, and they can totally overwhelm your recordings. As I said, I use a small mixer too. It extends the range of microphones I can use, and the number, and can also add tone controls, adding or removing bass, treble, and sometimes middle frequencies, and some mixers come with sound effects, such as reverb and echo. And usefully, some of them come with a compressor. And a compressor is really useful because what it does is it makes the quiet bits louder and the louder bits a bit quieter. So actually, the recording level stays fairly consistent, which makes it easier to listen to. And again, like microphones, there's a myriad of mixers to choose from. It's another potentially confusing and complicated market. I prefer well-established European and US brands for their proven track records and ability to get repaired should they break down. My current mixer is a Studio Master, but I'd be more than happy with a little Behringer, easily available on Amazon, and a Behringer Xenyx, that's X-E-N-Y-X, Q802 USB takes up to 8 inputs, mixture of stereo, so you might have sound effects coming in, a couple of condenser microphones, a couple of dynamic microphones, and has a USB out, so you can connect it directly to your computer. I use my mixer with a selection of microphones. I've got a non-USB Marantz MPM1000, so that connects to the mixer. I've got a new Shure dynamic microphone. I've got my old and trusty Shure SM58, which you'll have seen on stage used by many, many artists. That's stage and TV. I've got a couple of other microphones too, with two boom arms and two pop shields. And that's the basis of a podcast studio. The only drawback with mixers is you won't find one that will take your USB microphones. So you might want to think about things carefully before you make your purchases. But if you do need help with your sound recording, your video sound or podcasting, you can always get in touch. You can email andy@enterprise-oms.co.uk, phone me on 01793 23 8020, call or text on 07966 547 146, or hunt me down on my socials, Andy Poulton, Chief SEO Officer, and I'll be only too happy to help. Thanks for listening. You've just been listening to a podcast by Andy Poulton, your Chief SEO Officer. You can reach me on 01793 23 80 20 or hunt me down on social media, Twitter and LinkedIn. Just search Andy Poulton. Thanks for listening.